Second Samuel. So if you take your Bible, let's turn there, if you will. And, you know, we talked about last time when David was confronted by the prophet, and the man of God, Nathan, came, and we say he took that long finger and pointed it right in David's face, and he said, "Thou art the man." If you remember how that Nathan has described the problems that David is going to have. And when you think about the situation, you know, we always talk about David, and we realize he is, as our cover says here, he's the king. We know he's the king. He's the king of Israel. But I also want you to know this. When we study this, we talked about how that David, there was a time when some of these things that he did were going to come back, and there's going to be a payday for him. And we know the great sin that he's committed with Bathsheba, and I tell you, we hadn't got into it, and you know, I thought about it at one point, but the 51st Psalm, where David writes the Psalm of his penitence, where he apologizes to God, he asks God for some things, he writes this beautiful song, and he talks about how that he'd sinned against the Lord, and he asked God for his forgiveness, and he says, "Cleanse my heart, create in me a new heart." And he said, "Cast not thy presence, thy Holy Spirit away from me." And he said, "Restore to me the joy of thy salvation." I mean, there's all those things that David asked for. And I believe, you know, God's working in his life and doing those things. And, you know, certainly it's an admirable thing. But I want you to notice tonight, this is what we're going to study on in chapter number 13. And we'll call it this: the sword begins to swing. If you remember that Nathan tells David, he says, "Okay, David, God's forgiven your sin. You're not going to die." But he says, "Let me tell you this. God says the sword will not depart from your house." And, you know, I guess even as you and I could read that, had we not maybe known or followed the rest of the story, and even maybe sometimes when you don't think about it, you think, well, you know, what does that mean? Well, this is what we say in our day. The chickens come home to roost. All right, y'all heard that saying? That's one of them old country sayings. The chickens sometimes will come home to roost. And that's exactly what David's going to find out tonight, is that his chickens are getting ready to come home. You know, the things that he's done. You know, we talked about here the other day. There is a spiritual principle that always works and that always can be applied in every one of our lives. Whatever a man sows, that's what you'll reap. And that's maybe just another way of saying this same thing. But the sword that Nathan speaks of in chapter number 12 begins to come around and swing itself in chapter number 13. Begin reading with me, if you will, chapter number 13, verse number 1. "And it came to pass after this," after all these things had happened, David and Bathsheba, the child dies, Nathan's come and challenged David and told him, you know, what his sin was and all this. "And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man." Mark that little phrase right there. "And he said unto him, 'Why art thou, being the king's son, lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?' And Amnon said unto him, 'I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister.' And Jonadab said unto him, 'Lay thee down on thy bed and make thyself sick,
And when thy father cometh to see thee, say unto him, I pray thee, let my sister Tamar come and give me meat and dress the meat in my sight, that I may see it and may eat it at her hand. So Amnon lay down and made himself sick. And when the king was come to see him, Amnon said unto the king, I pray thee, let Tamar my sister come and make me a couple of cakes in my sight that I may eat at her hand. Then David sent home to Tamar saying, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went down to her brother Amnon's house, and he was laid down. And she took flour and kneaded it and made cakes in his sight and did bake the cakes. And she took a pan and poured them out before him, but he refused to eat. And Amnon said, have out all men from me. And they went out, every man from him. And Amnon said unto Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thine hand. And Tamar took the cakes which she had made and brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother. And when she had brought them unto him to eat, he took hold of her, and he said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. And she said unto him, nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, speak unto the king, for he will not withhold me from thee. Howbeit, he would not hearken unto her voice. But he, being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he had loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise, be gone. And she said unto him, there is no cause. This evil in sending me away is greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. Then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. And she had a garment of divers colors upon her, for such with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. Then his servant brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garments of divers colors that she had on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? But hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. Let's have a word of prayer, if you would. Father, thank you, Lord, again for the evening. Thank you for your blessings on us. And I pray now you just add your hand and your touch to everything that's said, everything that's done here tonight. Just give us grace and give us wisdom. And I pray now, God, that you'd be a real blessing in everything that is said. Just give us some instruction. Give us some wisdom and some help in the scriptures tonight. And we'll thank you for everything you do. Burden our hearts. Show us how we can be more like you and how we ought to be more like you. And again, we'll just give you praise for everything that's done now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. As I said, here the chickens are coming home to roost. I mean, there's some crazy things. Now, you know, a lot of times when you read the Bible, I mean, understand that God doesn't hold anything back, okay? I mean, there's some pretty, if you'd think of it, some pretty sordid stuff that goes on according to the Bible. I mean, this is the affair, if you will, the adultery that David was involved with Bathsheba. I mean, you know, that's reading in your Bible, that's pretty PG stuff, isn't it? I mean, it almost goes on to R, you know, as far as ratings go. You've got the same thing happening here in chapter number 13. This is some pretty salacious stuff that's going on. I mean, this is, you know, it's kind of, you know, raise them eyebrows a little bit. You look at that and you say, you mean that's in the Bible? Listen, I'm telling you, God's not trying to put out some kind of pornography pornographic stuff or some stuff that is smutty or whatever. Brother, this is just real life, and this is what happened. And can I tell you, this is the kind of stuff even that our real lives are made up of. I mean, we got stuff like this that goes on. And I'll tell you this, even a little bit further than that, stuff like this even goes on in churches. And that's scary. And that's sad. But I just want you to know it's truthful. Everything that the Lord has for us in these verses is for our admonition. So I trust you'll get a little bit of something out of this tonight, something that'll help us all. So first of all, let's look at this, and I want to talk about number one. Let's talk about Amnon, and let's call him, if you will, a spoiled prince. Now, Amnon is David's firstborn child. That's rather important, and as a matter of fact, we've already covered that. If you want to flip back with me in the beginning of 1 Samuel in chapter number 3, it talks about, in verse number 2, it said, "Now unto David were sons born in Hebron. And his firstborn was Amnon of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess." One of David's wives that he had picked up, if you will, while on his battles and his departure from Saul and all that, was a lady by the name of Ahinoam. And her father was a Gentile king. But David married her in thinking this would kind of strengthen his position and his place as far as being the king of his own land. And now those two have had a child. And his name, they name him Amnon. Amnon. Let me tell you what. The name Amnon means faithful one. Faithful one. That's what it means. The root word out of the Hebrew, and this is just you know, throwing this in extra, doesn't mean anything to help us in him. But the root word is the root word Amon. A-M-A-N, Amon. And you know what that translates to for me and you? Amen. Amen. You know when we say amen, it means agreement or you're right or what you're saying is truth. It's truth. It's faithful, if you will. Well, that's what Amnon's name means, faithful. I want to tell you, he wasn't very faithful in this situation, was he? He's not a man that lived up to his name. But I'm telling you, I'm going to say he is a spoiled prince. Let's look at him and see what is going on with this guy. Look what it says. It says that David had these children. It begins to name them. Said he had a son named Absalom, and he had a fair sister. Amen. And y'all remember from the last couple of times ago when David went out on his rooftop looking around where he ought not have been looking, a day he ought have been at war, a day he ought have been away from the castle and out with the men that were fighting. But David's walking around on the rooftop, and what did he say? He saw a woman that was beautiful to look upon. So you know what he did? He stopped and he looked. You get the idea right here that Amnon has had his eyes on Tamar for quite some time. It said that Absalom had a sister. Her name was Tamar. And look what it says. Amnon, the son of David, loved her. I mean, that's what it tells us. It tells you in that next verse, and Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. I mean, he just, well, as I say, he was a spoiled prince. But I want you to see what has entered in here into this picture is not only this, but you see the lust of the flesh. You know what your Bible tells you? That everything in this world can fall as a sin under one of three categories. And those categories are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And anything you can think of sin-wise will fall under one of those categories. And right here, David's son has fallen under that first category. the lust of the flesh. He has seen this beautiful young lady. And I want to say this, as you look at it, we'll think about these thoughts. But first of all, I want you to realize this. I don't know. But maybe somewhere in the back of Amnon's mind, he's sitting there thinking, man, that girl is awful good looking. Yeah, I know she's my half-sister. She's got another mother, but we've got the same dad. But man, I just love her. And he continued to look, and he continued to look, and he continued. And you know what? Somewhere in my thinking, maybe in the back of Amnon's mind, I don't know. But he probably might have even thought this. Yeah, I know who she is. But Daddy did something kind of the same way. And it must be okay. Wow. Wouldn't that be a thought? Because here he is. I mean, this is his steps here. This is somebody he ought not to be looking at. This is somebody he ought not have his eye. But you know what? Hey, the word had got around with what happened with David and Bathsheba. He said, well, Daddy did it, so it must be okay. Can I tell you, folks, you and I need to wake up sometimes and let our kids know, yeah, I might have messed up. I might have goofed up. Daddy might have made some stupid steps and mistakes, but please don't repeat those things. Amen? I mean, we need to come honest with our kids sometimes. And I don't ever see, I know David repented, and I know David wrote the great 51st Psalm. I know he did every bit of that. But I don't see where David said, get all these kids together and let me tell them, don't mess your life up like I fouled up mine. Amen? Well, you know, sometimes you think, well, preacher, we ought not to have to do it. Hey, sometimes it'd do us good to get everybody together and say, look, this is a mess. I've made it. I've had to pray and ask God. I've had to repent. I've had to come clean. And God's forgiven me. But please don't you make the same mistake that I've made. I mean, I'm thinking, look, David's a great king. David is the man. But let me tell you something, men. Let me tell you something. You're the man to your family. Or at least you ought to be. They're looking to you. Your kids are looking at you. And they're thinking, Daddy, boy, look at Daddy. Look what Daddy does. Look how Daddy acts. Look what Daddy says. Look how Daddy behaves. Look what kind of role model Daddy is to all of us. And Amnon's looking at him. And he's saying, well, Daddy did it. So I guess it must be okay. Oh, how sad that is. But you see what happens. The lust of the flesh. And then guess who enters in? A low-life friend. The Bible says he was so sick for his sister. He's just a love-sick little puppy dog. Well, bless his little heart. Amen. And it says, for she was a virgin. And Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. Let me explain that to you best I can. Here is Tamar, and she is one of David's daughters, probably one of the older daughters. I mean, we don't necessarily know all of that, but one of the older ones. She's probably a teenager. Amnon here is probably either a late teenager or early 20. That's his life, his years that he's been on the earth. And you know, he's in this stage where he's all, I've got to have her, and she's a boy. You know, he's got his eyes on her. She's a teenage girl, and he's just head over heels, it says, that he loves her. You know, he's just lovesick of her. And he doesn't know how he's going to be able to have any time to be just with her. What does that mean, preacher? Well, it means this. David had his young daughters that were virgins. That's what it says. She was a virgin. And if you'll look over in verse number 18, look at verse number 18. And it said, and she had a garment of divers colors upon her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins appareled. I mean, here you could tell who the king's daughters were and their marital status, I guess would be the best way to say it, or their eligibility status was apparent from the way that they were dressed. They would go around, and this says that she had this multicolored dressing, whatever it was. I read some stuff and they described it. They said that it went from, it went up the arms and tied around the wrists and went over the entirety of the body, went down to the ankles, and it was tied off there. And it was a multicolored garment that indicated she was a princess, and it indicated that she was a virgin and that she was yet to be spoken of, and only the king could do something about that situation. The king was the only one that had the right to say she could go or she could do or she could be with her, whatever it was. And if she went anywhere, she was supposed to have somebody there with her as a chaperone at all times. I mean, that was David's rule. That, I want to tell you something, mamas and daddies, that's a pretty good rule. Say amen right there. Well, that's what's going on. And Amnon said, well, there ain't no way that I can get her to be alone with me. And you know where his mind's racing and what his mind's thinking. Here he is. And he's like, man, I got to get alone with this girl. I don't know how I'm going to do that. Well, along comes a low-life friend. Look what it said in verse number 3. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab. As a matter of fact, it's his cousin. It said, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab, look, was a very subtle man. You know what that means? I just said it. He's lowlife. He was plotting, conniving, sneaky, deceptive. I mean, he was a real sleazeball. Amen? I mean, I think, oh, I got some. I'll tell you how we'll work this. I know how to. Oh, I'm going to tell you something. Hey, you better look out who your friends are. You better be careful who your friends are. I'll tell you, as somebody's always said, you show me your friends and I'll show you your future. You better be careful who you run around with. Amen. I know mamas and daddies have preached that for years, but you know what? It's still right. Here's old John. He said, oh, I got a plan. I know how to work this. And you see the plan. He said, look, you know, boy, what's wrong with you? He looks at old Amnon. He said, why are you lean? Why are you looking so sad and poor and pitiful? What's wrong with you? Every day I look at you. Tell me what's going on. He said, well, I got this little old girl. I'm just head over here, and I don't know what to do. He said, oh, let me think about it. I can come up with a plan. And he does. And you see the plan that he comes up with. He says, here's what you do. Fake being sick and get your daddy to come over here. When the king comes, tell him, you want Tamar to come and fix you some cakes of bread. Could you just do it? You know, that's all. Yeah, she's a good cook. Bring her in here. But hey, it'll work. And they plot out this plan. And Amnon falls for it because he listens to his low-life friend. And then you see the story unfold. Tamar comes down and she's there, but there's other people there. And it comes down to the point where verse number 9, she took a pan and poured out the cake. She did, made the little cakes, but he refused to eat it. And he looked around and he said, tell everybody to get out of here. All the men, get out of the room. Everybody's gone but him and Tamar. In verse number 10, Amnon said to Tamar, bring the meat into the chamber that I may eat of thy hand. I'll feel so much better if you'll just come in here and feed me. What a stinking liar. Amen? That I may eat of thy hand. Tamar took the cakes which she had made, brought them into the chamber to Amnon her brother, and when she had brought them to him to eat, he took hold of her, and he said unto her, come lie with me, my sister. I mean, hey, his vulgar, stinking, filthy, rotten mind and his plan was about to be put into action. And you see what happened. She looked at him. She said, don't do this. You don't want to do this. As a matter of fact, she says, look, if you do this, you'll be like one of the foolish men is in Israel. Please don't do this. And she said, and if you do this, what's going to become of me? Whether shall I cause my shame to go on? Verse number 13. And as for thee, thou shalt be as one of the fools. Now therefore I pray thee, speak to the king. Go talk to the king. He'll be okay if you go talk to him. He said, nope. Not today, little girl. I'm having my way with you right now. And you see the story. He would not hearken to her voice, but being stronger than she, forced her and lay with her. What a vile and despicable dude we've got. As I said, he's a spoiled prince. But I want you to notice there's a loveless finality to this. You see what it says? Verse 15, then, after all was over, Amnon hated her exceedingly. Can I tell you something? Sin looks like one thing on one side. But I want to tell you, sometimes it turns out exactly the opposite of what you thought. And look, it says he hated her. He hated her so that the hatred wherewith he hated her was greater than the love wherewith he loved her. And Amnon said unto her, arise and be gone. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. I don't want to be around you. I don't want anything else to do with you anymore. Now, you can imagine how confusing that could be for probably any woman, but especially a teenage girl. And she's been forced into a sexual relationship beyond her consent and all of this. I mean, this is ugly. And now he doesn't want to have anything to do. Get out of here. Leave me alone. Go. I don't want to see you anymore. And then, look, verse 16, she said unto him, there's no cause. What's this all about? She said, there's evil in sending me away. It's greater than the other that thou didst unto me. But he would not hearken unto her. And then he called his servant that ministered unto him and said, put now this woman out from me and bolt the door after her. Get her out of here and lock the door and throw her out in the street. Wow. What a prince. Amen. I told you, he is a spoiled brat. He's the oldest. He's the spoiled. And I'm telling you, hey, it didn't quite go, and it wasn't quite the picture that he had in his little lustful mind, and it wound up in another way, and it became an ugly, just a filthy, a vulgar, and a vile scene in the life of Amnon. But it also did some damage to this young lady. Look, you see a spoiled prince. But second of all, let's look at a spoiled princess. Let's look at Tamar. I want you to think about this now. Here's the spoiled prince. You know what he said? Well, daddy did something like this and it must be okay. Let's think about the princess now. Here's Tamar in her shamed condition. And look what it says. Verse number 18 again. She had a garment of divers colors on her. For with such robes were the king's daughters that were virgins apparel. I mean, David knew who she was and what she was, a virgin in his out of his daughters. Then his servants brought her out and bolted the door after her. And Tamar put ashes on her head and rent her garments of divers colors that was on her and laid her hand on her head and went on crying. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon, thy brother, been with thee? He knew what had gone on. But hold thou thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in the house, in her brother Absalom's house. Let's look at this situation. The prince, daddy's done worse than this. Daddy had a man killed. I mean, it must be all right what I'm about to do. But you know what this little princess thought? I mean, you just think about this, fellas. Men, particularly, think about this. Here your little princess has been violated by this ugly, stinking punk. What are you going to do? Well, you know what she's sitting there thinking? Surely Daddy will do something about this. Well, let's look. First of all, on her, you can see the look of her violation. I want you to notice what it says. It says that she had on that garment of those divers colors. I mean, here it was. She was dressed beautifully. She was all, you know, you could tell who she was. She was a princess, and she was a virgin. She was beautiful. She had all this going for her. But look in verse 19. And Tamar put ashes on her head. I want you to notice there's four things that happens to her to have this look of violation. She puts ashes on her head. When anybody in your Bible, especially in the Old Testament days, put ashes on their head, it was a sign of mourning. What did Job do? He sat down in the ash pile and he scraped his sword and he sat there and he bemoaned his fate and he was in the middle of the ashes. You go look throughout the Old Testament, you'll see when somebody died that the mourning, sometimes they would sit with ashes on their head. Or when God was bringing them into judgment, they'd put ashes on their head. The Bible says when the prophet went down, Jonah went down to preach to Nineveh, that the king said, "Hey, everybody get in sackcloth and ashes and pray and ask God. Maybe he'll turn his wrath away from us." Ashes were a sign of mourning. She got the ashes and put them on her head. In other words, she said, "This is a day of my mourning." It says she put ashes on her head and she rent her garment of divers colors that was on her. Ripped off the sleeves, ripped off the outer part of it. She got it and she said, "Might as well throw it away because it doesn't mean anything anymore." Amen? I mean, that's what she's saying. This does not mean what it once meant. It's not, I can't wear it. I am in a situation now where this doesn't mean what it used to mean. Can you see the brokenheartedness of this little princess? And she's sitting there thinking, ashes on her head, ripped off those royal garments of virginity. And she said, "Surely Daddy will do something about this. Surely Daddy's going to do something." It says that she laid her hand on her head. She didn't have a covering. She didn't have a headdress. But if you'll look, many times in the Old Testament, they'd put both of their hands on their heads and they would wail and they would mourn and they would be in a place of, it just meant, "Oh, woe is me," when they put their hands on their head. And they still do it. You watch television every once in a while on the news and you see some of these folks over in the Middle East, when one of their loved ones die, they're putting their hands on their head. Why? Because it's just a sign of their mourning, of their hurt, of the bad things that have happened to them. And here she is. And probably for one thing, she's outside the door too, having to walk through the street to get back to the castle where her daddy is. And she's got her hands on her head. And what does it say she did beyond that? The fourth sign was that she went on crying. She was weeping. She was broken. She was hurt. She was embarrassed. She was belittled. She was looked at and probably pointed at and snickered about. And somebody saw her and they laughed and they said, "There goes the king. Look at her. She's not what she used to be." Wow, could you imagine the embarrassment for that poor little teenage girl? There she is, and you have the look of her violation. But not only that, the loss of her virtue. You see that? It said, here she went on out in verse number 19, but verse 20, "And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, 'Hath Amnon thy brother been with thee?'" He knew that her life position had changed. She had lost that virtuous, that virgin attitude. She had lost every bit of it on that day in a situation that was beyond her control. It was, she probably did everything she could. She probably, I mean, there may have been, I don't know, we don't read much into it, but there was some reason that Amnon's hatred turned toward her. Hey, she wasn't the loving, she wasn't the you know, the little princess that he thought she was going to be. She might have scratched him, fought him, bit him, hit him, she might have died. I don't know. But she'd had every right to. And now, she's lost her virtue. I want you to understand that in this, she is sitting down and she is thinking, look what it says, that hath Amnon thy brother been with thee, but hold now thy peace, my sister. He is thy brother. Regard not this thing. So Tamar remained desolate in her brother Absalom's house. She didn't even make it back to daddy. Her brother stopped her. And I want you to understand, there's a little subtle meaning behind that word desolate. She remained desolate. The idea is that she remained in such a state, that she got in such a mental state of mind that she said, nobody will ever want me now. My brother Amnon has ruined me. I've lost my virginity. I've lost my status. And as a matter of fact, David never asked anybody to marry this girl. She remained at her brother's house. She didn't even get to go back home to her daddy. Now, if you'll look at it, that's where she came from. It was from her daddy, right? If you look at it, it says that verse number 7, David sent home to Tamar. Sent home to Tamar, where she was at his home. Sent home to Tamar, go now to thy brother Amnon's house and dress him meat. So Tamar went to her brother Amnon's house. She had been at her house with her daddy, in with the other daughters, but now things have turned and changed. And she has to go and live with her brother in a place of shame, in a place. You see what she said? She told her brother, don't do this. Don't do this. Verse 12. Nay, my brother, do not force me, for no such thing ought to be done in Israel. Do not thou this folly. Look in verse 13. And I, whither shall I cause my shame to go? This is going to be a shame. This is going to be a disgrace. This is going to be a mark on my life from here on out. And she remained. I'm telling you, she lost her virtue. I mean, you could even really say that she lost her value. I mean, we know what happened to her. The kings of their land, I don't want my son marrying her. We know why. Well, that's y'all's house is a mess over there, David. Your kids are all crazy and they've done this and you got, well, I don't want my kid marrying yours. She's lost her virtue. I mean, she's lost a whole lot. And I'm telling you, in that day, this was a despised and a wicked thing for this prince to do. Amnon was a sorry little punk, if you will. That's him. And now he's got a princess of a sister who has been sold. And what's he doing? He's over at the house hating her. She's down here at her brother Absalom's house, and she feels like there's no hope, no life, no nothing good left for me. And as a matter of fact, the stories are, and that's all they are, we don't know for sure, that she lived a widow for the rest of her days, or that she lived unmarried for the rest of her days. She just was out there, and nobody wanted her, nobody could have her, nothing. And her daddy, he didn't know what to do. I mean, it was just a mess. Amen? I'm telling you. You remember? David looking down there at Bathsheba. Look where it's getting him. Look where it's getting him. And as I said, oh, daddy will do something about this. I want you to notice this. There's some looming violence. Now you can kind of see it. Verse 20. And Absalom, her brother, said unto her, hath Amnon thy brother been with thee? Can you hear that? That's a big brother talking right there. What's happened? I know what's happened. You've been over there with that scoundrel Amnon, and I know what he's done to you. But hold now thy peace, my sister. He's thy brother. Regard not this thing. He said, in so many words, don't worry about it, little sis. I'll take care of it. You don't worry about it. She's over there. Well, surely daddy will do something. He said, don't you worry about it. I'll take care of it. As a matter of fact, isn't it amazing? Look in verse 21. But when King David heard of all these things, he was very wroth. But can I tell you, there's a difference in getting mad about something and doing something. I don't see David doing it that way. You can get mad all day long, but till you do something about it, your getting mad ain't worth a hill of beans. David got mad. Well, I'm preacher, David got mad. Well, he got mad, all right, but what'd he do? Didn't do a thing, did he? I mean, you think about this. David went down to the battlefield, and he saw Goliath come out and challenge the armies of the living God. And what did he do? Buddy, he said, hey, some of y'all do something. And they said, well, we can't do, look at you, see who we're fighting? He said, boy, somebody ought to go out there. And one of his brothers said, you need to go home. And he looked at him and he said, is there not a cause? Isn't there some reason? Isn't there something that some? He said, I'll go fight him. And you know what he did? He went and he fought him and he battled that giant. But let me show you something. There's a giant right here in his life and he ain't handling it in the right way. Amen? Daddy has fell down on his job. Can I tell you, there's a lot of daddies in this world that have fell down on the job, disappointed and let down their family when some of these stinking things happen in their lives. Amen? That ain't real super popular preaching, but I mean, it's the truth, right? So, here's what's going on. All right? So, there's some looming violence. I mean, he looks at his sister, and he says, don't worry, sis, I got this. Look next, and let's talk about an embroiled prince. I want you to notice this. Here's Absalom. And Absalom says this, Daddy didn't do anything, so I will. Daddy didn't do anything, I'm going to take care of it. It's going to get settled. I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, notice the festering animosity. Look here in verse number 23. And it came to pass after 2 full years. Absalom let this thing rock on for 2 years. But he had a plan. And if you look at the plan, he said that he had some sheep that were to be sheared. And he asked his daddy, the king. He said, King, what about letting all the servants come up there? He said, I'm having a sheep shearing and we're going to have a big time. We'll make a celebration. Just let everybody come. And the king said, well, why do we want to do that? He said, you go ahead with it and I'll let the men go. He said, but I'm staying here. The king stayed behind again. And when he's doing it, he said, well, if you're not going to go, Daddy, what about letting Amnon go with me? He needs to go. And the king said, no, he don't need to go. And he kept after him. And finally, David said, okay. Take Amnon with you. Y'all go and have a big time, have a big party. Well, little did they know. Look down in verse number 28. Now, Absalom had commanded his servant, saying, mark ye now when Amnon's heart is merry with wine, and when I say unto you, smite Amnon, then kill him. Fear not. Have not I commanded you? Be courageous and be very valiant. And the servants of Absalom did unto Amnon as Absalom had commanded. Then all the king's sons arose, and every man gat him up upon his mule and fled. Can I tell you, there was the festering animosity that was there, and then there was the final action that happened. He killed Amnon. Absalom said, boys, I got a plan. I mean, that thing had boiled in his heart. It had gone on for 2 years. And he said, I'm avenging my sister in this mess. And he does it. It might have took a while. But he had him a plan, and he worked it to perfection. And in the end of it, I'm telling you, the sword has begun to swing in David's house. A daughter that has been violated. Now a son that is dead. And now another son that's about to become a fugitive because of what he's done. You know what started that? David standing out there looking at a woman he shouldn't have been looking at. Let that gaze go on longer. He let that lust build. He just, you know, it just happened. But now, look, payday is coming around. Payday. Now Amnon is dead. I want you to notice this. I want you to notice the turmoil and the painful price that winds up getting paid. Look what it says. Verse number 30, and it came to pass that while they were in the way, now everybody's scattered. Amnon's only one dead, but everybody else scattered and gone their way. It's caused a big ruckus. And it came to pass that while they were in the way, tidings came to David saying, Absalom has slain all the king's son, and there's not one of them left. Then the king arose and tear his garments and lay on the earth, and all his servants stood by with their clothes rent. And Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother, answered and said, let not my lord suppose that they have slain all the young men, the king's sons, for Amnon only is dead. For by the appointment of Absalom, hath this been determined from the day that he forced his sister Tamar. Mr. Lowlife shows up and clears the air a little bit. That sorry Dickens. Amen? I mean, here he is. And it says, now therefore let not my lord the king take the thing to heart to think that all the king's sons are dead, for Amnon only is dead. Hey, let me tell you, one of them's bad enough. These were the words that hurt. When David heard those words, and when he heard that all of his sons were dead, even when he heard that one of his sons were dead, these were the words that hurt. What did it do? David started to weep and cry and wail, and just like probably any one of us, if we'd heard this same kind of noise, this same kind of news, hey, it'd been upsetting, wouldn't it? And here he was. He's broken. Hey, let me tell you something. I'll tell you right here, we can insert, Daddy, you should have done something. You should have done something before now, Daddy. Look what, hey, all of your, well, let's let them work it out. Let's forget it. Let's don't talk about it. Let's do something else. Hey, stand up and be a daddy. Amen. And David has got a mess now, doesn't he? David's got a mess. I'm telling you, the words that hurt, but don't you notice this? The weeping that was heard. It said in verse number 35, Jonadab said unto the king, behold, the king's sons come. They heard a noise behind them. And all the king, and as thy servant said, so it is. And it came to pass, as soon as he'd made an end of speaking, that behold, the king's sons came, listen, and lifted up their voice and wept. And the king also and all his servants wept very sore. I mean, there was a weeping that was brought on from this incident. Can I tell you something? If David had been the daddy and the man that he should have been, we might not be here. Amen? I mean, David, look what he's brought about. Look where he could have intervened. He could have got it straightened out with Amnon and said, look, boy, you're wrong, and I'm clearing this up. And you know, I mean, he could have... What the Bible says that he could have done, he could have cast Amnon out of the kingdom, or he could have had him stoned for what he did to his sister, stepsister, whatever you want to call her, half-sister. He could have had that done to him. What did he do? Nothing. What did that do to Tamar? It destroyed her life. What did it do to Absalom? It turned him into a person that had a vendetta, and that lasted on, and it even bled over into his daddy and time on, when we'll see when he rises up in rebellion against his own daddy. I'm telling you, sometimes you better cut it off. You better get ahead of the game. You better get in there and do something, Daddy, because if you don't, look how out of hand it can get. And here it is. What do you hear?
the words that hurt and the weeping that is there that everyone can hear. And he's crying, oh my, oh my, look what's happened. Oh my. Look in the last few verses. Verse 37, but Absalom fled, went to Talmai, the son of Ammihud, the king of Geshur. And David mourned for his son every day. And Absalom fled and went to Geshur and was there 3 years. And the soul of King David longed to go forth unto Absalom, for he was comforted concerning Amnon, seeing he was dead. Separation, one son dead, another run away in rebellion, a daughter that's destroyed. Hey, David, how you liking all that stuff with Bathsheba now? Look what your sin has caused. I want to tell you something. This ain't the end of it. There's a lot more coming down the road. I'm just saying, you better think about what you're doing when you get into some things. I mean, David wasn't thinking, was he? Wasn't thinking right. And that caused Amnon not to think right. Messed up the mind of that young girl, and it got Absalom into a wrong kind of thinking too. Vindictive, a vendetta, a rebellion. I mean, all of those things come from the very little. And Nathan said, the sword will never leave your house. Man, what an ugly picture that is. My. Well, let's sing a verse of a song. If you got any praying, anything, what are we going to do? 81. Just as I am. Get you a book there and let's sing a little bit. Amen. If you need to come pray about anything, let's stand tonight if you would. Just as I am, without one plea.